Here's the title of a good scare. Good scare. Good scare. Good scare. Good scare.
Hello, welcome around to episode 64 of Devour the Podcast. I'm your host, David, along with me is Jamie.
Hello.
And with us is Bo.
I don't know who you people are.
Because it's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm uncomfortable around strangers. Stranger danger! Stranger danger!
Yeah, our listeners probably don't even remember who we are.
I know,
like,
right?
When this pops back up on their feed, they're going to be like, what? Who the hell is that?
That's been about a month or so, give or take.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I want to let our devoted listeners know how much we appreciate them, though. There are people who are still giving us feedback and on shows, even though we haven't done one in a while, and who've also expressed interest in hearing a new one. So that, you know, that kind of makes you feel good. Yeah. And so I'm so pleased to be back doing this. I needed it.
Yeah.
And moving forward, we believe we have a schedule that works for everyone so that we can get a regular show out again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to be able to do that. So, yay. So this is the start of something great. Let's go.
Yep. It's like season two.
Well, yeah, technically it is.
Yeah, DTP season two begins.
Yes.
And the cliffhangers will all be answered this season.
And Bo will never lose his hat.
True. Very true.
He has a hat?
All heroes have hats.
Okay, so...
Yeah, things got weird.
Yeah. So, what have you guys watched in the interim?
I have watched, Sharknado, because Bo came on Evil Episodes and discussed that with us. That was a lot of fun. I went to see The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. Which Dan from the Skeleton Crew came on Evil Episodes to talk about. I watched Burke and Hare from 1972.
Oh, isn't that on Netflix?
Yes, it is. And it's a fun little movie. I mean, it's gory and charming and funny. Lots of boobs. Because a great deal of it takes place in a brothel. And so
You get a lot.
I mean, yeah, it's really, I really think you'd love it. As a matter of fact, I think we should talk about it at some point because it's a hoot.
Okay. But I've got it. I haven't watched it yet, so I'll put that on the list.
Well, do that. I think you'll enjoy it.
I will.
Okay. much more so than Sharknado. And I feel like there's something else, but it's been so long. I can't.
And that is why, Jamie, the professionals keep lists.
That's right. Well, I know. You know, I had a list, and then I lost it because it has been so long. But
that's why the professionals hold on to lists.
Or use digital means.
This professional needs an assistant.
Professional help.
But anyway, that's good enough, though.
Yeah. Bo, we know you watched a crap load.
Yeah. Okay. I watched The Battery, which is my favorite movie of the year so far. Side Effects, Beautiful Creatures, World War Z, The Millennium Bug, Superman 1 and 2 Director's Cuts, the movies for this week, of course. Six Souls, War Horse, the U.S. version of The Eye, Burning Bright, Night of the Living Dead Reincarnation, Spiders 3D, Kiss of the Damned, also awesome. Black Sheep, Stitches, The Man with the Iron Fist, The Wicked, It's a Disaster, Dark Feed, How to Make a Monster, Wrong Turn 5 Bloodlines, Dark Knight Returns Parts 1 and 2, the animated version of that,
right.
Pacific Rim, Sharknado, The Conjuring, The Jeffrey Dahmer Files, Detention of the Dead, and The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Wow. Oh my God, so many things I want to talk to you about. That's crazy. Oh, Brotherhood of the Wolf. That was, sorry, with Duncan, because he's going to be on, for liking it.
Right.
So, specifically, oh, War Horse, would that make me cry too hard? I am terrified of that movie.
Not really. The first hour of that movie is really good, and then the next 90 minutes are like, I get it, Steven Spielberg. It's a war horse. I understand.
Yeah, but you know me. You know me. Like, I'm really I'm very sensitive to animal stuff. I'm just
That stuff isn't too terrible. Okay. There's not. I mean, maybe I'll watch it, but yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. It's a long way to go. Not because of your animal thing. I just wouldn't recommend it because it stops being entertaining after a while.
Oh, yes.
And most of those movies I mentioned, at least the ones in the horror genre, then I made a point of reviewing all those so I didn't have to waste time on the show commenting about specific films. So there are links on the Facebook page to most of those films in review form. Mm-hmm. But the two highlights are Battery and Kiss of the Damned. Both of those are really solid horror films. And The Conjuring's not bad.
David, you're reminding me of Ryan Reynolds in during the operating room scene when you're like, that's where it's right. But why? Like in Bo's talking and you're like, sweet.
Yeah.
I need to watch that movie again. It's been too long.
Milk chocolate.
Notable also, I mentioned, you know, The Battery and Kiss of the Damned as being really good. Night of the Living Dead Resurrection and Wrong Turn 5 Bloodlines, both candidates for bottom 10 this year as well.
Thank you. Resurrection to me was...
Barely a movie? Yes.
Yes. I think that's I'll go with
I've
that.
Got to protect the family. Here's the gun. Protect the family. He's gone. Now it's up to me to protect the family. Just shut up. None of you are good at this. None of you are protecting shit. Least of all me from a nap.
Let's see. What did I watch? I watched. I also saw the Jeffrey Dahmer Files, which it was okay.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I wish it had been more about the investigation side of it.
Yeah,
it deals with like three specific people who were involved with the case, essentially.
Right. It's sort of like, hey, these are the three people we managed to find who would talk to us. And here's a guy who vaguely looks like Jeffrey Dahmer, or possibly a hipster.
Yeah, yeah.
Or possibly a hipster.
Yeah.
The story of the dude who was the detective who took the confession.
Right.
The most interesting part of that is the story he didn't tell, where during this investigation he apparently had an affair and had to move out. And
right.
You know, like there's all this backstory. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean you were in an apartment with no furniture because police at the time got plenty of action? What the hell is going on, sir?
Right. So that was, it was okay. I watched the original Psycho, which is a masterpiece. And then I watched Psycho 2, which is a movie.
It's just a flicker.
It wasn't awful, but it was just not necessary. That's the most I can say for it. I mean, it wasn't like a bad movie or anything. I was just like, wow, that sure was a Psycho sequel for no real reason. I mean, bless Anthony Perkins' heart. He did a good job with it, but damn, the movie is like, why? Why did you do this?
I haven't seen any of the Psycho sequels.
You're not missing. I started to watch the third one, and I ended up turning it off because I was like, nah, I don't care. I've been playing a lot of Saints Row 3, which is hilarious.
That's a great game, yeah.
I've been playing a little bit of Left 4 Dead 2 and a little bit of Lollipop Chainsaw, but I'm currently stuck in that game, and I can't get past it, so I'm like, fuck this.
I've been playing the hell out of some Candy Crush on my phone.
My girlfriend started playing it, and she's like, trying to get me to play it. I'm like, nope, not joining your cult. Won't do it.
I've been playing a little Borderlands 2. That's a buddy of mine got a new PC recently that is capable of running that thing at its best.
Right.
And so we've been playing a little multiplayer. So what gaming I've done recently, which ain't much, has just been playing multiplayer Borderlands 2, which is
cool.
Yeah, no, very funny, very fun game. I wish I had more time to play it.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of my thing. It's like I've got this stack of games I want to play, and I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
Which is also why I haven't watched movies, because I've been too busy playing video games. Mostly Saints Row 3.
Yeah, that's worthwhile, though. Very funny game.
Yeah, actually, I beat it, and I've already got the fourth one pre-ordered.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've heard that it just gets more ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And Keith fucking David's in it.
That is a video game, or Saints Row the Third in particular, a video game that wallows in the fact that it's a video game.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, it once you get that that VTOL, oh, shit is over. That game just gets broken on your behalf, but in a great way.
Yeah, so much fun. Anyway, so is that it for pre-show stuff, I think?
Any other business at the table? JJ?
I don't think so. Nothing I can...
Don't you lie to me.
I got nothing.
All right, fair enough. David, I've called a quorum. Everyone's good.
Okay.
Season 2, Bo plays the sergeant at arms.
Damn fine job, too.
I know.
All right, so we'll be right back with the news.
Our show is now on Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Hey guys, Bo here. Today I'm going to tell you about Ian of IanTheComicArtist.com. He's a gothic photographer and illustrator whose work trends toward the dark and macabre, with a healthy dose of cyberpunk for good measure. His work can be found in a variety of novel covers, magazines, and event posters. Information on purchasing prints and t-shirts of his photography and illustration work can be found at his website, IanTheComicArtist.com, as well as commissioning original work for private and commercial use. He's a good old-fashioned Canadian boy, and you can even catch up with him on Twitter at @gothicrobots, plural. So if you are in need of some graphic design work, head over to IanTheComicArtist.com, and he will fulfill all of your dark wishes.
Be quiet a second, will you?
It's 8 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 9 o'clock in Denver. It's 10 o'clock in Chicago.
In Baltimore, it's 6:42. Time for the 11 o'clock report.
Here's Johnny!
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Game over, man! Game over!
Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
And welcome back. It's time for the news! We haven't done the news in so long, it's probably olds.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
For like 15 seconds. Just popped in my head. Okay. First up, the Scream television series has some writers. MTV, you know, I am so excited.
God, I hope so. We're winging it.
I was worried that this was not going to make it. Damn it. MTV revealed July 26th that Jay Beatty and Dan Dworkin will pen the Scream television series. That has been buzzed about for a little bit now. What an interesting way to put that. Their credits include Revenge, The Event, and Criminal Minds. Their take on the property is unknown and no other details were released. The pilot was given the green light back in April. Tony DeSanto and Liz Gately are still shepherding the project. Wes Craven is in talks to direct.
Wait, it was greenlit in April? I don't remember covering that. Like the last I remember hearing was like they were saying maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's not. Like that's the last bit of news about it that I can remember.
Did we not talk about it being? I was thinking that we knew that.
Did we record maybe since April?
I think so.
Think so? I don't know.
I don't know. I remember learning to ride a bike and right now.
Where am I?
Well, apparently this is a thing that's possibly going to happen.
I guess so.
I prepared a song for this occasion.
Uh-oh.
Who cares?
I don't.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Except that I'll probably have to watch at least one episode for evil episodes, and then if we decide that it's not worth it, then we don't have to, you know, cover it. But
right.
All right. Well, moving on. The Wicker Man final cut to arrive this fall.
Yay!
Back in mood. What?
Put that in a backing bolt.
What in the hell? Okay. Back in May, there was an effort on behalf of Studio Canal and director Robin Hardy to find the most complete cut of The Wicker Man. Hardy's vision of the film clocked in at 102 minutes. However, negatives of his cut were believed to have been trashed. With the help of Facebook and various trade publications and blogs, they put out a call to film collectors and archivists to help resurrect Hardy's cut. According to Screen Daily, a print has been found, and Studio Canal is planning a release of The Wicker Man final cut this fall. The trade says a September 27th theatrical release is planned with an October 14th DVD Blu-ray release to follow for the UK. No word on a US release.
Boo.
And we don't ever get anything.
It's the internet, folks. You can order anything.
Yeah. Here's a statement from Hardy per SD. I'm very pleased to announce, I don't know his voice, but I'm very pleased to announce that Studio Canal has been able to find an actual print of The Wicker Man, which is based on my original cut working with Abraxas, the American distributors all those years ago. They plan, and this is the exciting bit, to actually release it. This version has never been restored before, has never been shown in UK theaters before, has never been converted to Blu-ray before. This version will, optimistically, be known as the final cut. When there's more news to share about a US release, we'll let you know.
Sweet.
I am very excited about that.
I am too. I actually really like The Wicker Man, and I had heard a lot for a long time that they were saying that they thought that it was like lost in the under the highway or something.
You know, although having seen the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2 recently, just throwing in everything that was there for Beginsies isn't always the best idea.
Yeah. Oh, it's not. I actually do not like the director's cut of
a movie yet to be named.
Yep.
Donnie
Blade
Darko?
Runner. Oh, Blade Runner.
Which director's cut?
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Version 3B. You have to have like Venn diagrams and pie charts.
I don't like the one where the narration is taken out.
That's the original director's cut, which is the only version I've ever seen.
Oh,
and actually,
really?
I really like it. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's not good, but I'm just saying I prefer the other version over that. Plus, you've got the soundtrack with Tangerine Dream and
it's Vangelis.
Tangerine Dream was Legend, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Vangelis
did Blade Runner. I should know. I've had like 3 or 4 different copies of that soundtrack because it's a bitch to find.
You're a bitch to find.
I know. That's why it's taking us this long to get down to recording.
Fair enough.
And he's been in Witness Protection Program.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll tell you guys that story later.
Oh, no. You'll just get killed. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Part of David will be played tonight.
By a sock with googly eyes.
Hello!
God, that's so cute.
By Inigo Montoya, apparently.
Hi-ho. Welcome to Devour the Podcast.
Oh, you made me laugh so hard I scrolled up. Okay.
Is that a metaphor?
Okay, no, I seriously scrolled up so I couldn't see the next part.
Oh, baby, I scrolled up.
Well, it will be now. Breaking! And you can tell that David, I'm sure David was so excited about this headline.
Yeah, it was.
Breaking! Scream Factory to release Clive Barker's Nightbreed, The Cabal Cut.
Hey, we're talking about that movie tonight.
I know,
yes,
right?
We are. Darkman, Assault on Pre-1613. What? Assault on Precinct 13 and more. So there you go. All from Scream Factory, which is pretty. They have been just kicking out the releases lately and
taking my money. Shit. I just picked up Life Force and They Live recently. The Fog is happening next week.
Nice.
I love it. ShockMediaDrop.com just left the Scream Factory panel at Comic-Con, where the company dropped some major release announcements. The big gun, they closed a deal today to handle the release of Clive Barker's Nightbreed, The Cabal Cut. This is the extended cut that has been making the film festival and private screening rounds. The Scream Factory reps stressed they do not have a release date yet, as it is, quote, going to take some time to restore the film for Blu-ray. Also on the Blu-ray release roster for 2013 and 14, Assault on Precinct 13, Sam Raimi's Darkman, Saturn III, Eve of Destruction, and Paul Schrader's Cat People.
I might have to pick up Saturn III. That's a weird movie.
Actually,
do you remember that one?
No, I don't.
Kirk Douglas and Farrah Fawcett. No shit.
What?
And it's about a killer
robot. I don't think I've ever
seen that. A space station. What?
I don't think so. I think I would remember Kirk Douglas and Farrah Fawcett.
It's like I said, very weird movie, and Kirk Douglas was kind of getting up there, and Farrah Fawcett was
still wearing that, the kerchief and the really tight shirt.
I can't remember if there was a kerchief involved.
That man loves his kerchiefs.
Come here, you dirty robot. I think that's the tagline of the movie.
Nice.
Right on the poster. Saturn III. Come here, you dirty robot.
I would love to pick up Cat People. So, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I don't remember that being especially good. I remember there was a lot of fucking.
I like... And there you have it.
Well, it's a Paul Schrader movie, so of course there was.
I really like it. It's very dated, but in an excellent way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what that was?
The last story.
That was the fucking last story.
What?
Yeah, it's a short news day.
Everything's all fucked up. Everything's all crazy. I didn't do it right. I'm sorry, guys, but that was it. I didn't give you proper warning.
So excited about Nightbreed Cabal Cut.
And, yeah. So, that's it.
Yeah, because that thing's like 50 minutes longer, like
yeah.
In it 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's
something
like
that.
It's like a full extra hour of footage.
Yeah.
Oh boy, an extra hour of Mac tonight.
Everybody who's seen it has said it's a completely different movie. So I'm super excited about that, and we'll talk about when we get to Nightbreed. We'll talk about that more. But yeah, super super excited about that. I'm wanting to see it, but there haven't been any screenings around here, so boo.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm really looking forward to that. But I'm also glad that Scream Factory, who really has been doing, it cannot be said enough, an amazing job with these films,
yeah,
is taking the time to restore it, put it on Blu-ray. I can't imagine that they're going to release it without, like, director's commentary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just hearing Barker talk about what got cut and why would almost be worth the price of the DVD, I think.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I am very grateful to them, by the way, that it's...
They've really taken up the mantle of, like they took over where, I think, sort of Anchor Bay left off.
Anchor Bay, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a blessing, you know? I haven't always been as crazy about some of the box art, but for the most part, I've been pretty impressed. And
I kind of dig it because the inside flap always has the original box art.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that they're using something that's a little bit different. And the thing that it kind of says to me as a purchaser and consumer is like, hey, this is something different that you haven't seen before. And anyway, I like it. I'm on board.
Sweet.
Yay, Scream Factory.
Yay. Now give us.
Yay.
Sponsor our show. Give us free stuff.
Oh, hey, speaking of, guys.
Oh.
I got confirmation today. We'll have to come up with how to give this away. Mm-hmm. But we are getting a Blu-ray of Dracula, Prince of Darkness Blu-ray.
Ooh.
The, first Blu-ray release of the Hammer, Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing classic.
Yeah, it
very
is.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like, I got that.
Yeah,
we
still have to figure out how to unload this awesome Silver Shamrock Company T-shirt.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, some lucky listener is going to land in that one, and we got to figure out how to do it.
You know, I think that should almost be because the Facebook group in particular, even during our absence, has been very active.
Yeah, it is.
I almost feel like we should give that away on the Facebook page.
All right, yeah, we'll figure something out.
All right, well, then why don't we encourage people now? If you are not a member of our group page on Facebook, I would say that there is no better time than now.
Very true. We'll come up with some kind of contest, probably either after this show or something. We'll converse and put it up on the Facebook page, but that will be the place to find it, and we'll come up with something for you guys to do, and it'll be awesome.
Awesome.
All right, so that's it. We'll be right back with my second teen romance.
Hey, everyone. Bo here. You heard us talk about a contest. Well, here it is. What we need you to do is go to our Facebook page, and you can find that page at facebook.com/groups facebook.com/devourthepodcast. Once there, we need you to tell us why one of us or all of us is wrong. That's right. Your job to win our deluxe fancy and schmancy Silver Shamrock t-shirt is to tell us why we have been mistaken, either in a review or just a random comment. So don't worry about pulling any punches. We can take it. Tell us where we were stupid. That's it. Enjoy.
Do you like movie reviews that are insightful, thought-provoking, and delivered by somebody who's trained to critically dissect every aspect of a motion picture without ever having to use obscenities?
Then you've got the wrong f***ing show. Kruger Nation Horror Podcast is ready to feed your slasher movie and exploitation needs. There'll be more blood, expletives, and titties than you can shake your grandma's beetle flaps at. Visit www.krugernation.com.
Oh, good God, a butthole casserole!
It came from the instant queue.
This is going to be our last con. It has to be the best.
I'm talking cute boys.
But it's a geek convention.
And who says geeky boys can't be cute?
What about your crush on grocery store boy?
Space con?
Yeah, it's sci-fi, fantasy, horror, you name it convention.
In other words, dork city.
Well, there are better words to describe it, like awesome city.
Ew. I do want a con romance. Once the convention is over, no strings attached.
You've got to be assertive sometimes.
Maybe we should have worn costumes after all. Looks like the girls actually dig it.
Grocery store boy has been staring at you in his own stalkery way.
Now that you're here, it just seems kind of like fate.
Ow.
Sorry.
Allison! Holy shit.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did anyone else notice a kick or fangs?
Your eyes. They're red.
Pink eye red or vampire red?
Kate's not going to last till the end of the con. He's going to need blood before it's over.
We can turn you back.
But we have to kill him first.
The guy who turned me. He's here at the con.
Is there any way we could find him?
Probably. But he's not the only one.
You must be pretty thirsty. You'll feel a lot better once you drink from the source.
Let's kick some vampire butt. Sauce? They bite!
You've tasted human blood. No turning back.
They bite!
You don't have to do this.
I just wanted one last fun weekend.
Maybe we could talk about the meaning of true love?
I'd love to.
My Second Teen Romance. This was released in 2011, and there's no synopsis from IMDb, but I'll give you a quick rundown of the basic plot. Is a girl is getting ready to go to college, and she goes to a convention with her friends for the last time, runs into a vampire, accidentally becomes a vampire, shenanigans ensue. So it's written and directed by Emily Higgins. Stars Elaine Hurt as Kate, Patrick Delgado as Paul, Santiago Deitch as Jason, Lauren Lee as Allison, Tony Vespi as Mark, Lauren Vunderink as Cindy, Devin Bonet as Vince, Sam Edison as Lyle, Tina Rodriguez as Gina, Christopher Aaron Morgan is a 1950s guy. Harry Knowles is a con vampire expert. And Christopher Gonzalez as Max. Jamie, go.
Did you not want to name the guy who swept up the theater before I went in?
He said Jamie, go.
I'm sorry. That is such a bad joke. I didn't see this in the theater. Okay, this is interesting. How old was she when she made this movie?
I want to say probably 18, 17, 18.
Yeah. There are things about this that make her seem like a really old soul. And I feel like she has an understanding of things beyond her years. And, you know, a healthy one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things about this that, because of that, endear this movie to me. However, what I did find was that after a while, that started to rub off. And I wasn't... I would sort of alternately really love it and then kind of be bored with it.
Mm.
And so I kind of was going back and forth a little bit there. I know that I'm not completely the audience for this, so it kind of makes sense. But for the most part, I think it was competent. There are a lot of things that you could see coming, but then at the same time, she's really young. And so I think for this to be an accomplishment of someone of that age is impressive on its own. So see what I mean? Like I was back and that's how I was watching the movie. I'm like, oh, I love it. Oh, right. Oh, come on. What time is it? Oh, this is really funny. Oh, wait, how longer, you know, right. But overall, I liked it. And I was impressed with her effort.
All right. Bo?
Well, this is why we have the Special Olympics and the Olympics. One is for athletes. The other is so people can feel good about themselves.
Okay.
And I feel like My Sucky Teen Romance is, like, for me to recommend it, it would be like saying, you really ought to go to the Special Olympics. It does your heart good. Just and you can't go 10 feet without a hug. And I think that's kind of this movie.
I get it. So, yeah.
I don't think, like, this movie, the heart is in the right place. It's well-intentioned. It you know, even occasionally is kind of clever. That said, it's also chock full of terrible effects and bad acting boredom. And yeah, like you were saying, there are stretches of this movie that you're just like, get on with this. You know, if we're going to evaluate this movie as just a piece of entertainment without the asterisk of, hey, this was directed by a young girl and we should all feel good about that.
I think it's fair to do that.
Yeah. So at that point, then no, you should not see this movie. It is boring and borderline incompetent. It's not. Damn. Yeah. It's the sound is bad. The lighting is dodgy at times.
I can't argue with you.
And the thing is that I don't fault it for even being indie or low budget or whatever. I mean, shit, like I was saying earlier, The Battery is maybe my favorite movie this year, and it's super cheap. But it does really interesting and kind of unexpected things with the zombie film.
Right.
And if this movie had done something interesting and unexpected with a vampire story, that would have been great. Instead, it's basically the plot of Once Bitten, except with kids running around a convention.
Yes.
And I never thought I would say these words. I would rather watch Once Bitten.
Oh, you don't like Once Bitten?
It's okay.
I like it. you're dead right about that. I mean, if we, you know, and I do think it's fair. I mean, if what we're talking about is we're judging entertainment here, then, you know, I think it's fair to, but I don't know, as a first effort of a young filmmaker.
Oh, it's not our first movie.
Second
or third, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, let me double check that.
I don't know this. I'm ashamed.
Doesn't make things better, does it?
No, it really doesn't. All right, then never mind.
But like personal level, I would encourage her. You know, I would say like, yeah, keep making movies. And sometime you're going to stumble upon that thing that brings together the technical side and a good story. And there's a good movie, I'm sure, in her. But I just don't think this is it.
I think there were some spots of clever dialogue, and I really feel there was and it was fairly obvious that she kind of hit you over the head with it, but there was this influence of the 80s that permeated right. everything, so much so that you knew where jokes were going before they got there, because, right. you know, we've all been there before.
This was like, her fourth film.
Oh, wow. Damn. That's impressive, though. But to, like, when they're doing the checklist of symptoms, and he's like, one more thing. And and then I'm like, oh, here comes the pizza. But then it was like a couple seconds later, and then it did sort of like the wipe, and then they were downstairs and trying to feed her a piece of pizza, and I'm like, and there it is. It seemed to fit, and so it was right there. I didn't find anything surprising or fresh, really.
Yeah, I was kind of reminded of the scene in Tim Burton's Ed Wood, where Tor Johnson keeps bumping into the scenery. And the production designer or whatever is like, hey, Ed, do you want to cut here? Because he hit the door and it shook the whole wall. Ed Wood's reply is like, oh, no, that's something he'd have to deal with every day. And like, that's what I kept thinking as people were trying to talk through those teeth prosthetics.
Yes.
And it fucked up everybody's voice. And it was like, you know what? you're a vampire, this is what you would have to deal with.
Right. Okay, well, hang on. I like this movie. I actually found it very charming and actually pretty funny. Yeah, the acting's not great, but I mean, these aren't trained professional actors, obviously. These are, you know, probably some high school kids that she knew or young actors who are trying it, you know, trying to get into it. Yeah, the special effects aren't great. The story's not particularly wonderful, and it's kind of sees where you sort of see where it's going pretty much from the beginning. But I still appreciated it because it was like, you know what? I appreciate the passion. And yes, there are some times when the dialogue is fucking awful. Oh my God. But at the same time, it's only about 75 minutes. And I felt like it moved at a pretty good clip. And
it was only 75 minutes?
Something like that.
I know.
Really? I felt like I was watching it for so much longer. And I'm not even kidding. I never knew it was that short.
Yeah.
That's crazy short.
Yeah. You know, and it's obvious that she's, she's, you know, it's got a very sort of simple structure, and that's fine. And, you know, it's not a great movie, but I enjoyed it. I liked the main girl was pretty good. I felt awkward because there were a lot of cute girls in this movie who are probably way too young for me, which is either here or there. But, you know, overall, I think that it was pretty good for what it is. And again, I tend to be kind of a little more lenient on these super low budget indie movies, unless it's being produced by the Asylum, in which case it can go fuck itself. This movie, however, I think was not great, but it was certainly entertaining and enough so that I could probably see myself watching it again and probably show it to someone and be like, hey, it's kind of cute and it's charming and it's not particularly amazing, but you know, it's all right.
Well, I don't think I'll watch it again, at least not for a while. And Jen sort of, she was laughing along with me in the beginning because I think it started out pretty funny and I was kind of excited. As in the very beginning, like before the credits, I was like, oh, I love this movie already. And then just probably like 7 or 8 minutes later, I'm like, all right, let's go. but Jen fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then like she woke up as it when it the credits were rolling. She's like, oh, how was that? And she's like, do I need to go back and watch it? And I said, nah, don't worry about it. And so that's probably the way, I guess, what I would tell anybody. Be like, eh, don't worry about it.
Fair.
You know, I mean, it's cute if there are things about it that are cute and charming. And that, I mean, I said that before. There were things about it that I were really endearing. But overall, I couldn't really find myself recommending it to anyone.
Okay. Well,
maybe a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, because we're teenagers. Oh, here comes more teenagers. Look, if you're a teenager, it's okay.
Big fat guy was pretty funny. Like, he was probably my favorite recurring character through the movie. He was funny.
That's great.
Bo, what would you rate this movie? I know you're not going to recommend it, but your rating.
I would give this, if I'm feeling pretty generous, 2 stars.
Okay.
All right. I gave it a 3. I liked it.
Okay. I will also give it a 3 because I did. I thought, like I said, I thought it was charming.
I liked it, but less than you.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was entertained by it, and I thought it was a cute movie, and it's not something I would think is particularly amazing, but, you know, for what it was, I enjoyed it. So, that is it for my second teen romance. And next week, we'll be doing Elfie Hopkins' Cannibal Hunter.
Wait, though, you know, I do have something I want to think about. If this is her 4th movie...
Right. Well, she made her first...
Yeah, do the math. Right?
Bo was waiting for this one.
She was 19 when she made this.
Hit me. If this is her 4th movie, I just feel like her direction should be better than where it is by now, even if she only is 19 years old, which means that in the very like first 30 seconds of the movie when you've got a kid come on, and they deliver their lines so poorly that it took me a good 3 times listening to him before I realized it was a joke. Like, I couldn't... I had to go back several times. The delivery on these actors was very bad. And there's really only one person you can blame for that, and that's the director, because in the end, this is what they accepted. So,
boom, 2 stars.
No, I mean, it's in spite of all that, I still give it a 3, a very low, barely hanging on 3. I did want to throw out that 4 movies in, I guess I should expect a little bit more.
Right now. A for effort, absolutely. It's great that anyone goes out and makes a movie. I think that's fantastic. But no, I would never recommend this to someone for fear of being smacked.
All right. Now then, we'll be right back with Nightbreed.
Hey, kids! Do you like horror movies?
Do you like podcasts?
Do you like people called Gil and Roscoe?
If you do... you're going to love Gallen Roscoe's Bodacious Horror Podcast! Every week, you'll join your hosts, Gil and Roscoe, who'll discuss a range of topics, including juice drinks,
alcoholic drinks,
lollipops,
bobby socks,
Robocop,
uncomfortable chairs,
comfortable chairs.
It sounds absolutely nothing like our podcast.
Well, it should be a representation of our podcast, so we should start off with the pure cheesy intro and then just be like, actually, no, that sounded way too upbeat for us.
Yeah. We could have some dead classy music in the background and people would think we're really high-class gentlemen.
We are high-class gentlemen. That's just not what our podcast sounds like.
Right.
So that's Gil and Roscoe's Bodacious Horror Podcast. Look for us on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
Coming soon.
Always a love and always avoided. Nobody loves a lonely jaguar. I have a strong and beautiful body, but nobody loves.
It seems new residents have arrived in the dead-end town of Fawntree.
Gamlins are having a housewarming party tomorrow night.
Are they our new neighbours?
Parker, it's me. Let's keep our eyes on the Gamlins.
That's what I want to hear.
I'm telling you, Parker, we are onto something this time. You did a bit of work for Charlie, right?
Well, certainly it's not like this, though.
Every village that the Gamlins have moved into, there has been a spike in reported missing people.
What are you after?
Well, you should be careful what you accuse people of.
Help me!
Something is watching. Something is listening. Something is coming.
How would you like to see the world the way it really is?
What's going on here?
Detective Harry Damour is walking a path.
I want you to help me. Will you take the job, Mr. Damour?
Where do I sign up?
Between what can be seen.
People are dying here. I want to know why. I've heard a name.
Somebody they talk about in whispers.
Who? Nix.
And what must be feared?
Nix is dead and buried. What the hell is wrong with you people?
Haven't you seen enough to know that doesn't matter?
No.
I don't want him getting in the way. We've always waited too long to have the homecoming spoiled.
Every step he takes.
The drone, the dark side. Don't like that.
Not much.
It's your destiny. Accept it.
Brings him closer to the truth.
He could get into people's heads. Make them see things. Terrible things.
See, that's his best trick. No illusions, just the truth. If Nix is back from the dead, then he is some kind of a god.
In a world where magic is real, death is the ultimate illusion.
I was born to murder the world.
ready for my wisdom?
It's not real.
Stop looking at me!
Next! You want to come with me, Damor? I've got so much power to give you. All you have to do is beg.
Clive Barker's Lord of Illusions.
And now our feature presentation.
Warning, the following review contains spoilers.
Nightbreed. This was released in 1990. The synopsis is, a community of mutant outcasts of varying types and abilities attempts to escape the attention of a psychotic serial killer, redneck vigilantes, with the help of a brooding young man who discovers them, based on the novel Cabal by Clive Barker. So it was written and directed by Clive Barker, stars Craig Schaefer as Aaron Boone, Anne Bobby as Lori Winston, David Cronenberg as Dr. Decker, Charles Haidt as Captain Eigerman, Hugh Corshi as Detective Joyce, Hugh Ross as Narcisse, Doug Bradley as Dirk Lilesberg, Catherine Chevalier as Rachel, Malcolm Smith as Ashbury, Bob Sessions as Pateen, Oliver Parker as Pelequin, Deborah Weston as Cheryl Ann, Nicholas Vince as Kinski, Simon Bamford as Onaka, and Kim Robertson as Babette. Bo!
Yes.
Talk.
Nightbreed. I think along with Hellraiser and maybe even Lord of Illusions. Mm-hmm. I think this is the most Clive Barker of Clive Barker movies. It's again a case where the story is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And without dipping into, hey, there's this other cut out there already. The big problems with this movie are that once you get into the second half of the second act, and particularly the third act,
right,
it's kind of a fucking mess.
Yeah.
That being said, again, setup is really, really, really amazing. You know, this idea of there's this place called Midian that's where the monsters live.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are monsters. So that's, you know, Midian calls to us. I think all that stuff is really, really cool. I think Craig Sheffer is fine in this. You know, he's not great. I could imagine a different actor in that part that may have elevated it some.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's terrible or anything. I think his makeup is a little goofy. Like when he monsters out.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, there had to be that meeting of, well, how monstrous are we going to make him? Because if we make him too monstrous, you lose sympathy. But he can't just look like a dude.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the going into the, well, we'll get into the politics of what happened in this movie in a little bit, but go on.
So all that stuff is really cool. Sort of the dynamics of Midian,
mm-hmm,
once you get there, that's the thing I hope exists in this other cut, because that's fascinating and completely unexplained.
Right.
You know, you sort of understand that, yeah, there's this sort of god in the basement, but you don't really get much information, and then all of a sudden at the end, it's kind of a big deal.
But
this movie, for me, begins and ends with the fact that David fucking Cronenberg is playing a masked serial killer.
Yeah.
The fact that he is such a thoughtful and understated kind of guy, I don't necessarily think he's even a good actor, but I think he's great in this part.
Oh, yeah.
And he's so creepy. And even with his kind of 80s hair, but like the scene in particular, when he's in the little gas station or curio shop or whatever it is, when he's leaving Midian, and this kind of transformation that happens when he puts on the mask, you know, and again, you're dealing with the thematic stuff of who's the true monster. Is it the guy who dons the face of a monster to, illuminate his soul? Or is it, you know, Cabal or Aaron Boone, who is a monster at heart, but is also noble and that kind of stuff. All that stuff is really interesting, but holy shit, is Cronenberg creepy as hell in this movie.
Absolutely.
Love that. So despite its problems, you know, it's one of those movies that I, you know, when I was growing up, I watched it several times, and watching it again, it's perfectly entertaining. It's just really confusing.
Right. I could see that.
Yeah. I dig this movie quite a bit. There are things about it that I would like to see done a little bit differently. I personally don't care for the comedic nods that are there. Sometimes I think they're a little... If it were handled in a completely dark manner, I probably would have enjoyed it more. But Cronenberg's performance is... Well, first of all, you know how I feel about Cronenberg, period. I just... I would, like, keep his footprints if I could. that's a little crazy, but
when
I don't know.
You see only one pair, it's because Cronenberg is carrying you.
Oh, tear. But he does such a phenomenal job. It's so exciting every time I see him on screen. He doesn't have this crazy, overbearing presence, yet somehow he still commands your attention. And, like, he's very subdued, I feel, but... Just there's sort of like a power bubbling under the surface. I don't know. I love it so much. That is probably, well, easily my favorite thing. As far as the makeup goes, I think a lot of it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
But the monsters to me are a little distracting. Like the one that I refer to as Mac Tonight, which is the guy.
Oh, yeah.
The guy with the moon face.
I think that's Ashbury.
Then you've got the Predator Dreadlocks guy.
Pelican.
Thank you. Which, to me, when we first meet him, I mean, you know, he's monstrous enough. And then he does this little mini transformation thing. And it proceeds. Some of them, they're a little bit difficult for me to look at, too. Like the oozing slashes in the side of the face.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really disturbing for me. I kind of find myself having to look away. It's one of those things, one of those little things that triggers my thing, my phobia. So it's kind of bizarre, but, for the most part, I like it. I'm not a Craig Sheffer fan. Never have been. I've never really been a fan of either Sheffer or Boreanaz, and they've always reminded me of each other. So I could have done without him. However, I think, you know, he was competent. I just don't happen to care for him.
Okay. So have either of you guys...
That Pelican makeup is pretty good. Yeah. I really do like that.
Have either of you guys read Cabal?
I have not.
You know, I don't think I have.
Okay. So...
I know that there are elements that are missing.
Right. And that's the sort of the thing I was about to say, is that having read the book first and having seen this movie after, it's... I like the movie, you're absolutely right, there is a lot of stuff that's kind of confusing, and there's stuff that seems to be missing, but I think because I read the book, a lot of it I just mentally fill in. Like, I'm like, oh, well, this is supposed to be like this, and this explains this, and, you know, it's like, I can see that there's shit missing, and it's like, oh, well, this is because of this, and it's like, if I hadn't read the book, I think it would have been way, way more confusing. I think, like you guys have said, Cronenberg's performance is brilliant. I'm really excited to see if they bring back some of the elements from the novel and from the comic adaptation, which the first four issues are, I believe, direct adaptations of the screenplay. There's some more stuff with Decker and the mask actually has a voice, which I'm really interested in seeing how they do that. I have to agree, I'm not crazy about Craig Sheffer in this one. I think he's better in Hellraiser Inferno. But this one, he's a little bit meh. Unfortunately, I think that because of the politics behind this movie, which was Morgan Creek, was just sort of, they didn't get it. And they're like, hey, better be careful. There's actually a quote that Clive Barker said where they told him, you better be careful because the way you're going, people are going to sympathize with the monsters. It's like, that's the fucking point.
Yeah. Yeah, if not the monsters, who's the hero of this film?
Right.
You know, certainly not Cronenberg. Although, I would love to see the version where this is the story of Cronenberg's character who has a shitty patient that won't show him where Midian is. And he has to, like, fight through using local police to become the monster he ultimately is. That's a movie I would watch, too.
Man, the concept of Midian is such an awesome thing,
right? And it is, and I think if you haven't, you should definitely, like I said, you should definitely read the book because it's really, really good. And here's a really cool bit of trivia: Both Rutger Hauer and Christopher Lambert were considered for the role of Boone.
Huh. I could see Rutger Hauer. That would be all right.
I was going to say that. I think Christopher
more so than Christopher Lambert.
I
have to find Median.
Christopher Lambert looks more of what I would think Boone would look like than Rutger Hauer would have.
Right, but he sounds like he has a speech impediment.
And this is true. I think it's because he's French.
I love him, though.
Also, John Skip and Craig Spector were corpses in the hotel scene.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, and as I said, this is the Cabal cut's coming out because there is like an hour of footage that was just completely butchered out of the movie because Morgan Creek was just like, we don't get this. This doesn't make sense. Wow, 1990s, you know, Hollywood stupid. But
yeah, that's really unfortunate, you know.
It really is.
And but you're also not going to release a movie that's 2.5 hours, particularly a horror film that's 2.5 hours long. You know, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, but but if you look at kind of the marketing of this movie, like the original trailers are awful. Like Morgan Creek had no fucking idea what they had in their hands.
Although that opening sequence is so cool, the opening sequence is really good.
That's true, though. I distinctly recall when this movie came out, and then I saw it, that it was not at all what I was led to believe from the trailers that I'd seen.
Right, because they really push it as, you know, it's off of coming off of Hellraiser, so they're pushing it as being from Clive Barker, who did Hellraiser, and they play the monsters as being monsters.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really what it's about. So I'm extremely excited to see what the Cabal Cut does. You know, I've always kind of liked this movie, but I've always been really disappointed by it at the same time, because it's like, it's incomplete, and it feels like an incomplete film. Like, there's just lots of jumps in the movie where it's just like, what?
And all of a sudden, there's a preacher that shows up that's, you know, and it becomes kind of about religion in a weird way. And it's like, where was this for the first hour of the movie?
Well, and that character does show up later in the story, but he gets much more fleshed out in the book. And in the comic, he gets considerably more time.
Yeah, because, I mean, that character just shows up and is a dick for no reason and then dies. Or, well, not dies, but, you know, becomes the acolyte or whatever. But, you know, I mean, like, that character just seems so sudden and unimportant until all of a sudden he's important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then did you also notice that there were long stretches of things like driving,
mm-hmm.
walking? You know, it seemed to go on for minutes sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this movie didn't have to be this long.
and I think that's kind of the weird thing about this, is that you look at this versus like Hellraiser, and it's like Hellraiser is very tight for being a first film, and then you look at this, and this is almost like a step backwards from that, and that's something I can almost completely blame on the studio.
Yeah, well, I am definitely excited to see the Cabal Cut then, because I would like to know what it should have been.
Yes, I am. Me too.
And can we take just a moment to appreciate the awesomeness of the moment where they have tracked, Cronenberg and the police have tracked Craig Sheffer to Midian, Boone to Midian.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the moment between Cronenberg and Boone where he's like, you know, I didn't kill anybody. And Cronenberg says, you know, I believe you. He's got a gun.
Yeah. Oh God. Yes. Did that chill you?
That is the best.
That was awesome. And then, they just proceeded to unload on him, and so I'm sitting there going, that would never happen.
Yeah, right. He's white.
It's Canada.
But that was sort of a, cause you know, when he's walking up to him, you're like, mm-hmm. what's he? Oh, and then, it's kind of like, ouch. And then no one ever says he didn't have a gun.
No, the detective does.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he? Oh, like, I missed that.
Oh, he reached inside his jacket or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God. Now that I've said it, I want to see the Cronenberg, like, where he's the anti-hero. Like, it's his path to becoming a demigod or whatever.
And also, I would like to remark on some notable makeup that I saw in the morgue scene, right after that scene,
mm-hmm.
Where they shoot him down and then he's in the morgue. I noticed that his body on the slab, you don't see it in its entirety, but at one point you're sort of traveling down the side of his body. You see his thigh and his lower leg. And the makeup, they seem to take a great deal of care in producing the corpse look. It's very just subtly... You see models of purple and some yellowing there. I don't know. It was enough. I noticed it and appreciated it. So
I think makeup is pretty good in this film, actually. Except for the mechanical monster baby that the girl saves.
Oh,
I think that's
a
little dodgy, but...
But it's 1990.
No, I'm not saying that it makes the movie bad or anything, but when you see it, it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Don't linger.
I think probably the one scene that has probably has the best feeling of what I could kind of consider to be what the original film was supposed to be, is the scene where Onaka dies. He gets dragged out into the sunlight. Like, because you have so much sympathy for that character and you barely know him.
Yeah.
Also, and there's a really good...
He's got a monkey.
He's got a dog.
It's a Boston Terrier, but...
And it made my head, it's a monkey.
But you know what? But you know what's funny, though, is because we were watching that, the very first time we meet that dog, he runs off like, rah, 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 but it doesn't sound like a dog at all. And so I was like, that didn't sound like a Boston Terrier. And Jen, who wasn't looking up, she was like, that was a Boston Terrier? I thought it was a monkey.
I rest my case.
So there you go.
But it's worth seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that it's... If you can hang out till the Cabal Cut comes out, I'd say wait for that. But if you've never seen it, I'd say this version is worth at least watching once, just to get an idea, just for comparison and contrasting, I think.
Yeah,
I would definitely say that, and Cronenberg alone sells it for me.
Yeah, and it's really it's nice totally worth watching for him.
Yeah. So, great.
Ooh, that's tough for me. Let's see. Is anybody else ready? You can come back to me if you want.
Yeah, I'll go. I'm going to give it a B- because so much of it feels disorienting as a viewer. But I would still definitely recommend it. Like I said, Cronenberg, there's great makeup effects. The idea of Midian alone is, if you're a horror fan, you immediately are like, yes, I want to go to where the monsters live. All that stuff is great. I am incredibly excited to see this other cut of the movie that may fill in those gaps and make this the movie that I think it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Bo. You actually did help, because I was sort of wavering, going C or C+. But then when you started listing off the things and I heard them all right there together, like Cronenberg and then Midian, and I was like, oh, there were some really cool things about it. So then that sort of bumped it up to a B- as well.
Okay. I'm going to give this a solid B. Like I said, I do like it, but it's mostly because of my attachment to the original story and my attachment to the original novel, because that original novel
get that looked at.
Rocked my shit.
Yeah, I'm glad, though, that we're not ending this in a place where we're just saying, hey, this is a movie that got butchered by the studio. I wonder what could have been.
Right. And that was the feeling for a long time. Like, when I first saw this movie, I was like, oh, I wish I could see what it could have been, because there was so much talk about that, because I saw the movie in 2006, I think, and I had known about the movie since 2003, and there had been talk even then and from prior to that about how they thought the footage existed somewhere. They thought it was in a vault, in basically in Morgan Creek's vault somewhere. As far as I know, I think they found some a rough cut VHS in Clive's office in a box, pushed off somewhere in a corner. Yeah. And then Clive gave his blessing, and they've basically been reconstructing the film and going through this whole thing. So
that's dedication.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
And from what I've heard, like, it's been something that they've, like, every time they've shown it, it's been a little bit different, because they've tightened things up or changed a little bit here and there. So I'm excited to see what the Blu-ray is going to be, and hopefully they're going to clean up the footage as much as possible so it looks consistent, unlike My Bloody Valentine, where they just sort of push the new footage, the original footage back in there, and it looks kind of shitty.
It sticks out, but in a way, I don't mind it,
right?
Because with that film, My Bloody Valentine, I'd seen so many times, and then so it's really noticeable when the new footage is pops in.
Right.
It has a completely different feel to it. I actually kind of like it. It's like a little, like sometimes they'll have like the little symbol in the corner or something if you have never before seen footage.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just sticks, and I pay special attention, is what I'm trying to say. I notice to really look at it, because it's something I might not notice if I We're just watching it and walking around doing stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and we've been kind of sucking Scream Factory's dick all night, but you know, the fact is they built a reputation for themselves of putting out quality transfers to Blu-ray of some great cult films. Mm-hmm. So I trust that they're going to do, you know, the best they can with it. And fortunately, we live in a day where modern technology is such that you can restore something from some pretty suspect sources and make it look pretty good.
So. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I saw I think I remember watching the comparison video for when they were restoring the Lugosi Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the original footage they had versus the restored footage. Just like, holy shit. So.
Yeah, right. Oh, this looks like a real movie. Okay. Right. Yeah. You know, and watching They Live recently, the Scream Factory release of that. And it, you know, that movie has always looked okay,
mm-hmm.
but seeing it look really good, it was like, man, this movie is kind of awesome. I mean, not the movie itself, of course, is, but just the look of it and everything. It's like, man, you know, this is kind of Carpenter in that Prince of Darkness period where mm-hmm. he put together some really cool visuals. You know, you can argue plot points, but and it. Oh, God.
Yeah, but sometimes they don't matter in those movies. You know,
I don't
find it mattering.
Yeah. I mean, not to launch into a thing about Prince of Darkness, but I think that's a great example of a movie that works on a pretty subconscious level mm-hmm. and does a pretty good job of it. I like that movie quite a bit, actually.
I do, too. Mm. And actually, every time I watch it, it affects me for a couple of days. There are a couple of pretty disturbing scenes in that movie for me, one of them being the bum and the roaches, you know, and every time that'll just... I'll be just minding my own business, and suddenly I'm like, ah!
Yeah. So, it's a weird film. But anyway, but all that to say that, yes, Scream Factory is exactly the company I would want to be responsible for bringing out the Cabal Cut.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we'll be right back to close the show with some listener feedback.
I say every house in America should have an electric chair. And every man just once in his life should sit in it. Just so that he can feel the power of millions of gallons of electricity flow through his veins.
I got an electric chair. That's all I need.
You get an electric chair, Sheldon, you don't have to worry about the audience. You get an electric chair, you can tell them anything you want. As long as it's real. You get yourself an electric chair and it'll sit there all night long. Kind of a funny idea, sitting in an electric chair and doing a show. Well, think of the therapeutic value of an electric chair and all the money it is. Yes, an electric chair in every home.
The Electric Chair, a show about horror. ElectricChairShow.com.
Electric Chair. Wow.
Hey, guys. It's me. I just wanted to say hello, and it's about time y'all are recording. I've been missing y'all. Anyway. Have fun tonight, and I so enjoy the show. Catch y'all later. Bye.
So, thank you, Iris, for calling in. We appreciate it. We missed you, too.
Yay, Iris. Yeah. You know she's the new permanent co-host of Badasses, Boobs, and Body Counts.
I did not.
Yeah, she just started over there. Mike has decided he wanted to change his format. He wants to have a permanent co-host and do some more obscure films. So Iris has joined him on a permanent basis.
Neat.
I was listening to the Tenebrae episode today. That's quite a good episode.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And plus she has her own show, The Movie Fan Attic, that has come out. And Bo, you're going to be on that one coming up, right?
Yeah, you were on the first one being filthy.
I
come in, bad a little cleanup, class the joint up. So.
You know, we were talking about, what do you want me to do? I mean, look at what we're talking about. We're talking about Videodrome. I really don't know how to talk about that movie and be anything but filthy. And
then you it was really interesting. It was a good talk.
Oh, thank you. Then you bring Iris into the equation, and she's dragging all this shit out of me. It's like I'm in a Barbara Walters interview. Like I'm this close to tears. I'm just emptying my soul, and it was just amazing how she's like what it sounds like is that I was just blathering on, But really, I mean, she just has this knack of just pulling shit out of you. And then when it was over, I'm like, what in the fuck did I say? So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty open and honest. And there you have it. But it was a good time. I really like the idea of this format. Actually, I'm really looking forward to hearing what she does with you. We'll see what she gets to bear.
Yeah, well, and we're going to be talking about a movie that is not. I don't think I should. I don't know if I should say what it is.
Leave it be.
Yeah. Okay. But we're going to be talking about a movie that's actually very personal to me and one of my favorite films ever in the world. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And it's not a horror film. It's, in fact, as far as you could get from a horror film, I believe. Awesome.
Okay. So we have, I'll start with the oldest email. This is from Mike. We were just talking about him. This is actually from episode 62, I want to say.
The old six deuce.
He says, "Hey, dudettes. Just wanted to say that you all nailed it with your review of House. I saw this in theaters back in the day and owned it on DVD with House 2. And you guys couldn't have been more right about how underrated this one is. Anyway, I'll keep this short. So keep it up. And David, quit your job and get back to weekly shows. Thanks." No.
We feel like we can combine them.
Yes.
We can do both.
Yes, indeed. Because
we have the technology.
Yes. And Bo's being, you know, fucking directing this ship.
That's right.
You know, sometimes man's got to man up.
Yeah.
That's hot.
I know.
Okay.
Turns me on.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. That was really nice. When that popped in my inbox, I was pleased because it's been a while since we've gotten feedback from him.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to hear a familiar voice.
Well, nice to see.
See some familiar typing. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike said, "Oh man, I had fallen off on listening to the Badass Boobs and Body Count show." Mm. And I've been catching up recently on my commute, and man, I really, really enjoy that show. I gotta figure out a way to get back on.
Yeah, I got a bunch of podcasts I have to catch up on.
That Tenebrae one in particular is very good because they do a list of the top five and kind of worst of Dario Argento films. And it's a really good discussion of what works about Argento.
Interesting. I will have to check that out then.
Yeah, it's really good.
Mike and I did Cat of Nine Tails and Inferno for an episode. And that was a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah. And man, everybody shits on Mother of Tears.
Because it's awful.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch that again. I remember not liking it, but I don't remember it being offensively bad.
I fucking hated that movie.
You know, I still haven't seen that. That's the one where he pissed me off so bad. And so I never saw it. Because he dissed me, dude. I was supposed to interview him and he three different times. Like, I'm on the phone and his person has called me and they call him and he's like, I'm tired. And so he's rescheduled old. Three different times. And finally I said, you know what? Fuck yeah. So I never did see the movie out of spite.
Like, I said, even up your butt with a coconut. Although I saw no coconut.
Okay. We got an email from our listener, Duncan.
Woo!
And he says, "Hey, David and Jerry.
I love Duncan so much.
Love show 63. I'm a huge Clive Barker fan and have really enjoyed Devour tackling the adaptations of his novels and short stories, some of which are good and others are not so good. A lot of Book of Blood was shot in Edinburgh, and I have visited many of the locations used in that film. Awesome. I have to side with Jamie on Dread in that it's one of the films based on his books that I am not keen on at all. However, it's great hearing you and Bo discuss aspects that I hadn't considered before." Yeah, see?
Ouch. He told me in private that he was completely on my side, so there.
Whatever. Feels like ages since your last podcast, and the suspense is killing me. Yeah, it has been ages. Nightbreed is one of my favorite childhood or early teenage films I grew up with. Please be kind with her. I think we were. Keep it
the work.
I like it.
And I will eventually get around to leaving a voicemail. Lots of love from Scotland, Duncan, of the Rock and Reel Reviews. He says, "P.S. Rawhead Rex rules, and there can only be there can be only one."
Oh, see? Love him. Love him. That's what I'm
there
talking
There can
about.
Be only one.
That's pretty good.
I know. Yeah, the Lambert's getting better.
I'm so excited we're going to be talking about Rawhead Rex, and I'm so excited that there are other people who are excited that we're going to be talking about Rawhead.
It's be so that much movie fun. Is so full of dicks.
I love this movie so much.
Oh, God, I can't believe you haven't seen that, David. I'm almost, like, no matter if you love it or hate it, it is a movie you will not forget.
You get to see a priest get pissed on. I really don't know how you could just not love it. Not that I like seeing priests get pissed on necessarily, but I mean, how often do you get to see that?
That's true.
Just keep a notepad handy and just make a tick for every phallic symbol you see in the movie. And you're going to need more than one page.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I think when you are watching, you're going to get, yeah, of course Jamie likes this.
And I like it because it's fucking crazy. That movie is cray-cray.
It is.
All right.
Anyway, but thank you very much, Duncan. And Duncan has been sort of my partner in crime and talking about a couple of movies on the Facebook page as well.
Yes, indeed.
But Death to Scotland.
I can't. I'm such a turncoat. I'm building my little personal Scottish army here, and so I really can't say anything bad about them. And by the way, he thinks it's hilarious when you say that Gil and Roscoe sound like stroke victims. He's like, they got a proper belly. I can't do it, but I can't do the accent. But
he sounded like a butler.
I know, it was so bad. It wasn't even.
Oh, we had a right laugh about that.
Complete wrong country. I'm so sorry. But anyway, he said he had a proper belly laugh, which I think is adorable. You know what I love about them too? They say words like confectionery in everyday conversation.
Because they're fancy.
I love them for that. It's just, yeah. Killing Roscoe's bodacious podcast. See, that one I nail. I'm dead on.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go to them and ask. I mean, to my ear, it's all gibberish, so
here's the thing. Jamie does an awful Gil and Roscoe, and Roscoe does an awful impersonation of me.
That's true.
Only fair.
Those guys have a good show. Death
for
to
me
Scotland.
To poop on.
Yeah, right? See him come to our shores and try to pull that shit.
Yeah, I know, right?
Come across the Atlantic, or the Pacific if you want to go the long way.
Well, you know, I was talking to Duncan, and we were talking about how Scotland is apparently going up for
sale.
They're going to be attempting to gain their independence next year. And he's like, you know, because right now, like, say, for instance, if they decided to go to war, Scotland's going to war whether we want to or not. And I said, but if you don't go to war, then where are they going to get their bagpipers? They have to contribute the bagpipers. You know? And he's like, yeah, that's right. They don't know how to march without them. Oh, man.
Although there is something that seems appropriate about, like, the UK saying, like, we must go to, you know, let's say Darfur and rescue people. And Scotland being like, we're going to sit this one out.
Well, I don't think that they necessarily plan to. Maybe it's just just in case we want to kind of thing. You right, just right. want the option to say, nah, no thank you on that.
it's the Braveheart thing. They, you know, Scotland will be free.
Well, yeah. And it costs a lot of money to paint those. It costs a lot of money to paint those faces. You know, so every time they go into battle, that's, you know, money down the drain.
Yeah, but you're saving it in kilts.
Yeah, because it's not quite pants. You're right. There's
yeah. Yeah, all right, you're losing makeup money. But
and you don't have to pay for underwear. Just blue ribbons to tie around it. I can.
Yeah. How many times have you heard someone refer to a bulletproof kilt? Never. Doesn't exist. It's ridiculous.
No, they look like Judy Jetson walking around if they had a bulletproof kilt. It's
we can
late.
Carry it protected.
Anyway, so next week we'll be doing Lord of Illusions.
Starring
Plus,
Doug
Hill. The battle would get really smelly because they carry every cheap splatters.
Okay.
But I crave it fortnightly! Listen to Rock and Reel reviews.
I still need to check them out.
All things metal and, well, other music too, and horror films, and it's fortnightly. it's released with, and that's Duncan and Dave, and that's good stuff right there.
Awesome.
Sad to say, I need to listen to that too. I'm not
you
a metal fan.
Not understand a word.
Like, I wish it was Duncan doing a podcast that was like, "Hey, do you enjoy soft rock from the 70s and horror movies?" And I'm in. You have a listener. Like, we're going to do Rocky Mountain High and Night of the Grizzly.
Well, you know, it's entertaining just listening to them, even if you don't even have to care what they're saying, because most of the time you won't understand it. So
that'll be interesting when I listen to it, because I'll actually know what bands they're talking about, and then I can argue with them about how they're wrong.
I'm sure they're waiting for that. Look for them on the edges of their seats. That's where they're going
to
be.
Yeah, you might completely agree. You might find a kindred spirit. There's no reason to go into this contentious, David.
Says the man at war with Scotland.
Such negativity?
Well, that's because Scotland started it.
It's true, they did.
And what kind of man would I be if I let it slide? There are few things I'm good at in life. Holding a grudge happens to be one.
Okay.
I'll get you, Gil and Roscoe and Duncan.
And the list just keeps getting longer.
Eventually it's going to be like, I'll get you, Edinburgh. Yep. Personal vendetta against a city.
All right. That's it for this show. Thank you guys for hanging in there, listening, and thank you for sticking with the
work. What about stuff to promote?
Oh, well, we've got next week, like I said, Lord of Illusions and Elfie Hopkins. Check out Badass's Booms and Body Counts. Johnny Krug's Kruger Nation is back, and I'm pretty sure he has a new episode out. I don't know. Gil and Roscoe.
Yeah, he just put out a new episode today, I think.
Oh, sweet. Iris's show, Movie-copia.
Jamie, what 10 podcasts will you be on?
I'm not... am I doing anything currently? I don't think I have anything in the wings right now. New Liking It will be hitting. I keep saying that, but this time I mean it.
Maybe.
And new Evil Episodes is going to come out. That's the one with that you were on, Bo. And then Dan was on the other segment. And that was a lot of fun.
Sharknado.
But that's going to be a fun show. Yeah, Sharknado and The Conjuring. So we're keeping it, you know, contemporary here.
Awesome.
And I guess that's about it for now.
Okay. Cool. Bo, do you have anything you want to say?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm very happy to be back. Thanks everybody for sticking with us, and we'll do this more regularly. Season 2 has begun.
Yes.
All your questions will be answered.
I know this episode was a little shaky at times. I felt it was a little shaky at times, kind of awkward.
You were a little shaky at times.
I'm always the
first episode back after a break is always a little bit awkward.
Like Tara Reid,
huh?
Huh? But no, we're gonna get back into the swing of things, and you know how it is after a hiatus. It's so good to be back. It really is. I missed it so much.
Yeah.
So, yay! Yeah.
All right, so we will be back with episode 65, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
If you wish to contact Devour the Podcast, you can reach us by email at CenobiteDave, that's CenobiteDave at gmail.com, or Maven1974 at gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at DDelamorte, DDelamorte, or Maven1974. To visit the site, go to devourthepodcast.blogspot.com. And now you can leave a message on our fancy new voicemail at 760-661-7280.
I guess everyone's entitled to a fun good scare. Good scare. Good scare. Good scare. Good
scare. Good scare. Don't just blame the movies. The movies don't create psychos. Psycho movies make psychos. The poor creator. Good. I remember when they walked down the hall in the second night.
Power the